Ron Jackson, W266DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Former President Trump has been indicted again. Our Nicole Killian is outside the courthouse in Atlanta, Georgia, where the charges against him and 18 others were filed.
We can see in the indictment that one of the initial overt acts, if you will, was on November 4th of 2020, when this indictment says that the former president, in a nationally televised speech, falsely declared election victory.
CBS News Justice correspondent Jeff Pagay says this is serious.
The penalties in a case like this, if you're convicted, could go up to 20 years behind bars. These are serious cases. And then you add the other cases and the legal jeopardy that the former president faces there. This is serious stuff.
Reaction has been pouring in. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, who's also a Republican candidate for president, said, "Over a year ago, I said that Donald Trump's actions disqualified him from ever serving as president again. Those words are more true today than ever before." The Trump campaign called the indictments bogus and called Fulton County DA Fannie Willis a rabid partisan. Willis, by the way, says while it will be up to a judge to set the date of the trial, she hopes it'll be within the next 6 months. Now to Maui and the deadly wildfires. Here's CBS's Nora O'Donnell.
Authorities searching for more than 1,300 people still missing. The recovery just beginning as 12 more cadaver dogs arrive to help comb through the rubble.
The dogs can only work 15 minutes at a time and then they overheat because there still are embers burning. I mean, it's very hot down there still. There are more fatalities that will come.
That's Hawaii Governor Josh Green. A lot of people were diagnosed with cancer during the COVID lockdowns. CBS's Jim Crisula explains why.
American Cancer Society researchers looked at data from the U.S. in 2019 compared to 2020. Many medical facilities suspended elective care during the height of the pandemic that included cancer screenings.
30 years in prison for Cecily Aguilar for the 2020 murder of Army Specialist Vanessa Guillen. Reporter Chris Fox.
Members of Guillen's family overwhelmed by the grotesque details of Cecily Aguilar's role in helping her boyfriend, Army Specialist Aaron Robinson, dismember, skin, and bury 20-year-old Vanessa Guillen. Robinson committed suicide before Guillen's body was found.
Six white former Mississippi officers pleaded guilty to state charges for beating and sexually assaulting two black men. Just 2 weeks ago, they all pleaded guilty to more than a dozen federal charges connected to the case. The sheriff in charge of these deputies called it the worst case of police brutality he's ever seen. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/...
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up. Or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. okay? The pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
President Joe Biden is in Wisconsin on Tuesday, August 15th, and you'll find complete coverage of his visit on your local Civic Media radio station.
News director Terry Bell will kick it all off during the newscast at noon, followed by Town Call with Devil's Advocates host Mike Crute joining the show live on location in Milwaukee. Then listen for the president's speech during the Todd Alba Show after 1 p.m.
Special live coverage of President Joe Biden's stop in Milwaukee Tuesday, August 15th, starting at noon on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app, direct from the Dairy State. It's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
Sorry, I'm really riled up this morning.
Why is that a thing? How can that be a thing?
Yeah, it shouldn't be a thing.
Just what a... I want to swear. I want to swear so badly.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Who is responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789. If you've been following along with the months-long saga now of how are we going to pay for renovations for American Family Field to keep the Brewers past 2030. There was a bit of an update this morning. Molly Beck wrote an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that started like this. The Milwaukee Brewers could start looking for a new home this fall if state and local officials fail to reach agreements by the end by then on a taxpayer funded package to fund improvements to American Family Field required in the team's lease with the state. So it's a process that could lead them to boom towns of Charlotte, North Carolina, or Nashville, Tennessee. And the article goes on to talk about the deal that Evers had proposed in his budget proposal back in February. Talks about how Republicans in the legislature rejected that deal and have yet to introduce their own. They said at one point, but Robin Voss said at one point that he was going to had a self-imposed deadline of July 4th. That is obviously gone. But they still have not. I have not read any proposals besides the fact that they want local governments to be involved in paying for it. So potentially bringing back the stadium sales tax and local officials. Not very interested in that. So where does the buck stop? Who is responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin? I would love to hear from you on this. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. And we have a special guest. No, it is not Wednesday. It is indeed Friday. But I know someone very near and dear to this show who feels passionately about this. And so Greg Bach.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you have feelings?
Lots. Many feelings about this.
Who do you think's responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin?
The people who own the company.
The owners.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that the state and the city and, you know, I think that we do get money. You know, there are economic advantages to having a baseball team, but I think it's the team that should be coming to us with a deal that says this is what we're going to do. A split of, you know, 60, 40, 70, 30, however the split is, if you want to get super technical, but we will provide this much, you will provide this much because you get this much economic advantage from it. We will pay because this is our team and this is, you know, but that's not it. It is local governments, it is the governor, it is politicians running around scrambling saying, how do we do this? While the Brewers are sitting there with their pockets out going, we don't know what to do. Can you help us? Signed, billionaires. I think that the team is responsible for, if not the total upkeep, a portion of it.
But they don't own the building.
They don't own the building, but they reap the benefits of the building. So they do have a stake in this. It's not like they're like, well, we just show up. I mean the uniforms are washed when we get here. I mean, we don't know anybody. I don't even know the guy who mows the lawn. No, there is an economic impact and people benefit from it, but it shouldn't just be the taxpayers who pay for it all. We did that last time. Mm-hmm. We do it every time. Mm-hmm. I just saw a VR 3D rendering of the $2.1 billion Tennessee Titans stadium that's going to be built. Do you think the owners are going to pay a dime for that? No. It's going to come through tax money, through the state, through local government. And guess what? Not everyone likes football. Not everyone likes baseball. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Jane before the show started, when I wasn't a baseball fan a couple years ago, I didn't care anything about this. People were like, the stadium tax. I'm like, it's a penny. Who cares? Now that I am a baseball fan, I hate this so much because I feel like it's a slap in the face that they're just like, well, you got to fix it. You got to help us. It's not up to you guys to do it. So we'll just, and if you don't do it, by the way, guess what? If you don't do it, we're going to go to Charlotte.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, do they have the leverage and the power that they don't have to? Because yes, there are other places that they could go. I mean, because in the veiled threat or in the very real scenario that the A's are leaving Oakland and they're going to Vegas.
The case in point, the best point is right here in our backyard. The Bucks. The Bucks were like, if you don't give us money for the Burrito Pfizer Forum, it looks like a burrito to me, the Burrito Pfizer Forum, we're going to take our ball, literally, and go home. And we're going to go somewhere else. Said by a man whose son ran for office, and between the two are worth a lot of money. So to me, this...
Even more now, because he sold his stake.
To me, this whole thing of is crying wine, we need your help. And if you don't help us, we're not going to do anything. We're going to leave. I'm tired of it.
No, I know. But I'm saying, because in the alternative, though, if they have the upper hand, they being the owners,
yeah,
that they're like, if you don't fund this, we will leave.
Yeah.
Is it worth calling their bluff and have potentially having the team leave?
I don't think so, honestly, because I think they don't care at the end of the day.
Who is it responsible for staying here?
Well, we are by de facto then, but you're asking me the question, who is? I'm going to tell you it's either the team or a mixed of the two.
Okay.
What you're saying is, who needs to save it then? We have to, because we have no choice. If we want to keep it, Tony Evers doesn't want to be the governor who lost the Brewers on his watch. So we have no choice. So we're basically being blackmailed into this.
Yeah, I know.
This is highway robbery, extortion. So to me, they don't care about the team. If they're like, oh, I guess we'll just change the colors of the team, change the name, change it to Nashville, I don't know, the Twangers or Guitar Pickers, and welcome baseball to Tennessee.
Spittoons.
The Spittoons, you know.
Oh, we're talking about who is responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin. Would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. We got Travis on the phone. Travis, who's responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin?
Well, hate to bring up a sports metaphor, but this should be a team effort.
Da-da-da!
In thinking the same way. The Brewers don't own the stadium.
Yep.
They lease that stadium. So when your furnace goes out at your rental home, do you put that new furnace in, or does your landlord put that new furnace in?
The landlord.
So, right. So the city or the stadium district is the landlord of the stadium. So they need to be partially responsible for whatever upgrades that stadium needs. That's my point of view.
Okay. And that's fair. I think.
So then further than that, Travis, because that becomes, how do we fund it? And so then do you have thoughts on what Evers' plan was originally versus a pending Republican plan versus going back to, where are you located out of, Travis?
I live in Greenfield.
Greenfield. So you're Southeast Wisconsin. So would you be okay, like, bringing the stadium tax back?
I didn't notice that it left. So, yeah.
There you go.
We don't notice these things when they leave. We have them for a while, and everybody complains about them right up front, and then you forget that it's happening.
So your number one priority is that the Brewers stay, no matter, and you think that the government does play a role because they own the building.
Absolutely. The government plays a huge role. And the amount of money that we lose over the next 20 years, if the Brewers aren't here, is pennies compared to what it's going to take, what it's going to cost to get them to stay.
Good point. Thanks for the call, Travis.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you want to chime in, either text or phone. Karina from Milwaukee. Good morning, Karina.
Good morning. Well, I'm agreeing with the rental situation, but also I don't charge my own, the service guy who's come and exchange my furnace for a ticket to get into my apartment either. So I've been charged for a ticket. I've been charged for taxes. I don't even go there, watch for it, and I cannot even tell myself saying, okay, fine, I don't have maybe kids, like some people don't do, but they do pay for schools, for all the municipal use, even though they don't use it because it's a future generation. We need to educate kids. We need to make sure that we have a educated next generation. What good do I get from the Brewers? Nothing. I don't have an interest in this sport, neither in the building, neither in anything like that, but I'm forced to pay for it. Besides the point, only because I live in Milwaukee. The rest of the state, which are receiving the money from it and having a share from it as we know it, and we did talk about it, they do absolutely nothing. And when we need money in Milwaukee, they put more taxes on the people who live in Milwaukee.
So you're saying you don't think it should be paid locally through taxes and it should be a statewide funding, or that...
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yeah. So as far as it's a responsibility of the state, not for the region.
Which was mentioned in the article about David Crowley saying this should not come from the county, this should come from the state because it's state funding. But David Crowley also then said, well, we'll revisit it and we might help. Because now people are feeling the pressure.
Well, and also now that the city is also getting a sales tax and there's more money to be gained from the city and the county by people going to Brewers games.
Yeah, I mean...
Thanks for the call, Karina.
I don't disagree. Honestly, I don't disagree with either one of them. I do think that there is a joint partnership that needs to happen. But once again, it can't just be the Brewers standing back going, we need your help. What are you willing to put into it with your money as owners, as executive, the whole thing, the organization of the Brewers that makes lots of money off of this? What do they put into it? Like, what is their financial stake?
I mean, this, I feel like this brings to a bigger conversation of just like the constant welfare we have from billionaires and corporations.
They need help.
Yeah.
And that they, because they, it's also because they have leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's just the money that they are in a position to gain and not spend, that this is just another example of. But ultimately, I don't think anyone, no one wants to lose the Brewers. I don't think the Brewers want to leave. The government, obviously, as you said, Governor Evers doesn't want to be the governor who lost the Brewers. A lot of us, even for people who I think aren't necessarily huge, maybe not Karina, sports fans are like, there is a nostalgia there, right?
Yeah.
But like, who's gonna fall on the sword? Where is this going to come from?
We will.
All right. We're going to keep talking about this after the break. Who's responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. And it's like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize
compromise and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected overnight with a low of 59. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. High of 76. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. Clear skies tomorrow night. Lows around 55. Mainly sunny skies and calm Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 81. 79, chance for scattered storms Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. We are watching the rain from our front door that is pouring.
Yes.
It's a nice day to stay at home, but we are not at home. We are in the studio.
You bet.
And we're talking about recusal and broadly talking about for our Wisconsin Supreme Court justices, what, if any, should the standards be for them to recuse themselves from hearing a case?
Because there currently aren't any standards.
Because there currently aren't any. And in the past, there has been situations where the justice could personally benefit by the outcome of that case, whether it's through future donations to their case, to their campaign, or other familial involvement. But it's an honor system, and so it's up to them. But now we have, last week, at the end of the week, Robin Voss, veiled threat or not, saying that the Republicans would consider impeachment if Janet Protasiewicz does not recuse herself from the redistricting case. And to me, because there is no standard, because there are no rules, I don't know how you justify and meet the bar for impeachment when there is nothing that says that she is breaking her oath based on what she said during her campaign and the fact that she said, I can't tell you how I'm going to rule on a case, but I can tell you, looking at these maps, any reasonable person can see that they're rigged.
Well,
tell me that I'm wrong. 844-967-2789.
There is no bar. They're inventing a bar, which is what they do when they lose. Text from the 414, if there are no recusal rules, then it's up to each individual justice. I don't remember which justice it was that heard a case involving a firm that her husband was employed by. This wasn't a problem. Boss is just upset because change is coming.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And from the 541, specifically, if the person is elected for their views, why would they need to recuse for nothing more than practicing what they preached? What statements were made by other judges during their campaigns? She is not the only one on the state Supreme Court.
Well, and she also did say that she would recuse herself anything that includes, that is a case where the Wisconsin Democratic Party is a plaintiff or a defendant, because they did get that. They did give her a lot of money. And she said on the campaign that if there was a case involving them that would come to the court, she would recuse herself. Dan Kelly did not say that. And so she has set out, as far as her honor system, where the line is for her. And she did not, I will say, she did not respond to Milwaukee Journal Sentinel when they reported on this last week, as far as any response to what Robin Voss said.
But I just, and the other thing I don't understand about the threat of impeachment, and maybe I'm missing something here, and they do have the power, right? Because they needed a simple majority in the assembly, which they have, and they do have a supermajority in the Senate after Dan Knodel got elected in the special election in April. But correct me if I'm wrong, but even if they did impeach her and if she was removed, doesn't Tony Evers just appoint
someone
her replacement?
I think so.
So how does that help you?
Well, can they impeach Governor Evers before he does that? Because they have to stop fair maps from being adopted. That is the number one survival rule. They got to stop it.
Which is so crazy to me, because as we've talked about on the show before, the likelihood, depending on how the election years go, but also there is a slight natural gerrymander in our state. And
yes.
We've talked about that.
Yeah.
That, like, most outcomes, Republicans would still have a majority, potentially even in both houses. Not every year, but slightly.
Yes.
So it's not that they would automatically lose the majority. They just, like, don't want to let go of that supermajority, that they can just do whatever they want. And the people who are in those seats are so safe that they don't have to listen to people.
Yeah, because life is good when you don't have to respond to your constituents. Life has been great for them.
They don't get reelected, and then they have to go get a real job.
Or actually respond to what the people who live in their districts are asking for.
Absolutely.
Medical marijuana, background checks, red flag laws, no permitless concealed carry.
Abortion access.
But they don't want to do that, so they're gonna cheat.
Yeah.
They're going to cheat. Text from John in the Falls. Good morning, ladies. You show me a judge who claims to have no personal beliefs on any social legislative issues, I will show you a liar.
Absolutely.
No one is ever completely unbiased. Recusal should only happen when there's a tangible personal benefit for a judge or their family, or when the judge feels like their personal beliefs about something do not reflect the will of the people that he or she is making decisions for.
Absolutely. You got a call from Dave?
We do. Dave, we got about a minute and a half. Thanks for waiting. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. So you brought up with Clarence Thomas, and I actually agree with you guys. I do think if you have special interests that are actually influencing judges, even at the federal level, state level, I do think there are certain cases when they come up, yeah, they need to recuse themselves. And people have to remember this particular Supreme Court race in Wisconsin was by far the most expensive in the United States and was like six times higher than it was back in 2020. I think it was like $61 million versus $10 million. So you had a lot of special interests that were vying for both sides from out of state to swing the court a certain way. That being the case, right now, I agree with you guys right now. I mean, I don't see their... I mean, personally, I do think she should recuse herself, but I think that's really up to her. Just based on the fact that, you know, as a judge, you know, you're supposed to kind of be in the middle, wait till you get all the facts before you're actually making the final decision.
Absolutely. We're coming up against the break, Dave, so I got to let you go, but thank you for the call. We will keep this going. If you have thoughts on recusal rules and what they should be and when they should be enacted, 844-967-2789. We'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. Former President Trump has been indicted again, this time by a grand jury in Georgia investigating the 2020 election. Prosecutors allege there was a conspiracy to change the outcome. Our Nicole Killian with details on the charges.
Beginning with, for instance, false statements to and solicitation of state legislatures. We know that there were several hearings that were held at the state capitol back in December of 2020, where you had Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani, who was named in this indictment. Department who tried to convince state lawmakers to try to put up their own slate of electors.
CBS's Christiane Benavides on why this case is different.
If Mr. Trump were to be reelected, because these are state charges, this is not something that he could potentially attempt to pardon himself. That's why these charges are weighing so heavily.
This is Trump's fourth criminal indictment. CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
It's interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking about recusal rules. Because what else is more interesting to talk about on a Monday morning?
But it is. It's pretty fascinating.
Well, it's fascinating because it affects us. And, you know, as far as throwing out anything that could potentially work to stop the changing of the tides that people voted for, the backstory here, if you're just joining us, is one, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has no actual rules for recusal. It's an honor system. Each justice gets to decide. Two, over the end of last week, Robin Voss was on a radio show being interviewed, saying that he thinks that lawmakers may consider impeachment if Protasiewicz doesn't recuse herself from the redistricting case based on things that she said during her campaign about believing that the maps are rigged, which for a lot of us is seen as an objective statement. Now, that's not, you know, so whatever. But
I'm on the one hand, we don't have recusal rules, so how can you say that she's breaking her oath? Two, I don't know, see how she benefits from this compared to other places where people absolutely should have recused themselves. So we're asking you, what should recusal rules look like? Does this qualify? 844-967-2789.
Bill from Oconomowoc is on the line. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. You say this is a little bit of a tangent or an offshoot of what you're talking about, but if you listen to me say the whole thing, it'll put the respectability back into our courts.
Okay, let's go.
People take the time to Google the 14th Amendment. You'll see at the very end, because of a civil war, of insurrection and co-conspirators are not allowed after that. It's stated in our Constitution. Now, if you read the oath of office, Robin Voss took, Donald Trump took, they took an oath to prevent the country or protect the country from domestic terrorism. How does this affect the judges? If they hold up this part of the Constitution, you won't have to worry about Robin Voss talking about, oh, we're going to impeach. It'll put the accountability back into the system. That's all I called about, but I tell you, if you read that, it ought to put a smile on your face. These people technically are all finished. They're done. Well, and that's per the Constitution. Now, if I'm wrong, please inform me. You know, you can mention, well, Bill thinks this is a deal. It's not. Other lawyers have brought this up.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
Just saying, you know. But I tell you what, Ron Johnson's head will explode. Fox will explode. Trump's head will explode. I mean, Robin Voss, I think he ought to head for Russia if they start reading this. These people will be held accountable because of all of it. It's accountability.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
It's not so bad in our courts. Take care. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Bill.
That's interesting.
It is. 844-967-2789. Text from the 262. Voss should have resigned when he got nearly $300,000 in PPP loans, which was later forgiven. From the 920, the Republicans lost this election, so this is their way to overturn the will of the people. Absolutely, because they don't want to have to do the people's will. They know better.
We got a comment on the live stream, which you can always watch on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter at As Goes Wisconsin. If you do that, give us a follow while you're there. From John Smallwood, it takes 50 votes in the assembly and a 22 votes to convict and be removed in the Senate to get rid of a Supreme Court justice. We should expect them to try this. Let's start making this the most painful option for repug state senators now. What does that look like?
I don't know.
Most painful option.
How would we do that? Continually reminding people about it?
I guess, but also I still, again, wouldn't Evers just be able to appoint her replacement? And so it's like, does that get them any closer to
what they want?
What they want, except just slow. I mean, it could slow down the process.
Well, and there's a texter who pointed that out as well. The impeachment talk is a stalling maneuver to try to keep the ruling from coming down before the 2024 election. The Senate doesn't have to vote on it, but they can certainly sit on it.
That is true. And so, but as far as what impeachment is saying, like what it should be entailed, it's basically crimes and misdemeanors. Like it's a pretty high level of
offense
to justify it. So it's like, the Wisconsin Constitution allows lawmakers to remove state officials, quote, for corrupt conduct in the office or for crimes and misdemeanors. Now, what he's claiming is not a crime.
No.
So you have to basically prove that it's corrupt conduct, I guess.
That seems like a stretch. But
if you have the votes, you have the votes.
Right. 844-967-2789. Jim from Appleton. This is just another Republican example of rules for thee, but not for me. And from the 262, our current Chief Justice Ziegler had several cases come before her when she was a circuit court judge that her husband was part of, and she did not recuse herself. She stated she could rule on the merits of the case. But apparently that only applies to Republican justices who have that ability.
Yeah. I can tell you right now, if I had to just be the judge and the jury on my husband's case, I would not be able to do that. I would be very, very biased. But, you know, I'm just a lonely radio show host, not a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice with lots and lots of integrity. And so, I mean, again, this could just be a stall tactic. It could be a threat. It could be just a way to rile the troops up. But I think it's worth talking about.
Oh, absolutely. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Cindy from Appleton. Good morning, Cindy. What do you think about this?
Well, I think that if they were to impeach Janet, which I don't think would happen, and you talked about how the governor could just, you know, automatically appoint somebody, but the point is then the Republicans would have to confirm that person, and with all the election stuff coming up, do you think they would actually do that?
That's a good point.
No, it's all about, it's about stalling, right?
Yep.
That's a good point.
So that would be my concern.
Thank you.
I hate those things. Thank
you,
Cindy.
Have a good day. If you want to check in, you can still give us a call. You can text us at 844-967-2789. 541 says, a reminder, impeachment is a political trial, not a criminal one, so logic is not applied.
Yes, that is correct. Well, we will see how this. I highly doubt she will recuse herself. So then if this moves forward, we will have to see. The ball will be back in Voss and the Republicans' court to see if they actually follow through with this.
Get some of these, get phone numbers, people. I'm telling you,
yeah.
It's easy to Google our state lawmakers and find out their phone numbers and call them politely every day.
Exactly. Well, I want to move on because I want to get to this story. And this just seems bananas to me. So I don't know if you heard over the weekend this story about it's a small town. It's like 1,900 people. But police in Kansas raided a local newspaper and its publisher's home on Friday. They took computers and other records. They took cell phones. They took routers. And there's one part of this story that's like obvious that this feels like there's outrage from First Amendment advocates. There's also the fact that after the raid, the publisher's 98-year-old mother died.
They believe from
the stress of like having their house raided.
Yep.
But what's interesting to me, and I feel like this is, there's so much more to this story, because the action of raiding a newspaper, it's a big effing deal, right? Like freedom of the press is one of the things we hold very, very dear.
It is a foundation of our country.
And so you'd think the standard to justify that would have to be more than what sounds like a like divorce dispute and like a petty, messy, like back and forth of like small town BS.
Sniping.
That the ends of this certainly feel way outside what the actual story was going to be. And the fact that any judge approved this search warrant. So I'm going to try to like summarize the case as best I can. But basically, the town is called Marion, and it's 60 miles north of Wichita. And the characters are, there's a restaurant owner named Carrie Newell. And she claimed that the newspaper, which is called the Marion County Record, illegally obtained damaging information about her DUI. But I always thought DUIs were public information.
It is public information.
So anyways, so that led to a local judge issuing a warrant authorizing police to seize the newspaper's files. And so the paper said they didn't publish the information about Newell's conviction for drunken driving and has denied that it came through by it illegally. And so like that is, but like, it just doesn't seem like, how is that claim of what should normally just be public information, how did any judge look at this and be like, yep, you can go raid the newspaper and the publisher's
home?
So the newspaper said Joan Mayer had been stressed beyond her limits. So this is the mom who died, and overwhelmed by hours of shock and grief following the raid. But in general, police raids and news organizations are like they don't really happen in the United States. And they're illegal under most circumstances, under both state and federal law. And so the fact, again, I feel like there's the burden of proof to justify this has to be so high that, like, there has to be more to this story, because what I can, like, deduce is basically this restaurateur, Jane, you tell me if you think I'm doing this correctly, okay, doing this justice, claimed that the newspaper came through, like, came by her information illegally. They said they didn't. She wanted her privacy protected. She, like, issued that, like, she got granted them for to go take it, and they did. But, like,
but they never printed the story.
But they never printed the story, and they also haven't given them the affidavit,
which is missing.
Which is missing.
Yeah, that's kind of an eyebrow raiser right there.
And then there's this other part that the newspaper, The Record, has been actively investigating Police Chief Gideon Cody,
who's a new guy in town,
at the time of the raid, after receiving tips that he had left his previous job in Kansas City, Missouri, to avoid repercussions for alleged sexual misconduct charges. So then is like, is there another layer to why that this, they are like, look over here, this is why we're doing this, even though it doesn't really make a lot of sense, even though what we're really looking for potentially is what they have on our police chief.
Bingo. That's it right there. That is absolutely it.
That's what you think it is.
Yes.
But I just think this is, I mean, this story is fascinating. And, like, I think there's way more to it. And it became it's becoming a national story because it's so egregious. And, you know, it just makes me think. I watched She Said on Friday night with my mom, which is the story of the two reporters. Well, there was two stories that broke the Harvey Weinstein. There was Ronan Farrow for The New Yorker, and then there was the two women from The New York Times who were working on it. And then they wrote a book, and that became a movie. And I just, like, it just is a reminder. This story is a reminder. Their story is a reminder. Just, like, I have so much reverence for investigative journalists.
Absolutely.
And, like, at this point, like, literally the danger they put their lives into to get to the bottom of the story, and, like, the doggedness. And, like, I sometimes, like, watch the stories of investigative reporting, and, like, I don't think I have the wherewithal. I don't think I could ever be, I take no for an answer too easily compared to what these people go through to get the story and get the truth out there. So, as this story develops, we'll come back to it because I find it fascinating and I think there's some more details.
It's not over.
It's certainly not over. But when we come back, let's talk about not our state fair. Our state fair is over. Let's talk about the Iowa State Fair and some of the antics that happened there from our presidential candidates over the weekend. So this is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
To working folks for readers and to big shots for their dough. Now publishers are such interesting people. It could be prostitution, I don't know. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, circulation, ting-a-ling-a-ling, advertising, get those readers, get that payoff. What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show,
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies overnight with a low of 59. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 76. Tomorrow, mainly clear. Clear skies tomorrow night, lows around 55. Mainly clear Wednesday, with highs around 81. 79, chance for scattered storms Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jane Madere, what song was that?
You don't know the Iowa corn song?
Have I been to Iowa? I think I might have gone to Iowa for a basketball tournament when I was like a preteen or tween, but I have not spent a lot of time in Iowa, I have to admit. I thought it was from like Pirates of Pizan.
No, it is the Iowa corn song, Kristen.
All right. Well,
now you know.
You know, we have milk songs.
We have cheese songs for
and,
sure.
And such. I actually read this morning, this is actually in Chicago, but we're going to save it to see if we can actually talk to the cheese witch.
Oh, I would be so excited.
But there was a great headline this morning of reading between the rinds. Oh. And it's a woman who tells your fortune by reading cheese. And I was like, this sounds ridiculous. And then I actually read the article and I was like, oh, there's a lot here. Like, we're saving this.
Oh, great.
For more than an 8-minute segment. So that will be in the future. But it sounded very Wisconsin to me.
That's a
tangent. Anyways, how's traffic right now?
Traffic right now, depending upon where you are in the state, in the city of Milwaukee, northbound 43 is completely shut down from Silver Spring Drive because of a disabled vehicle. And again, conditions likely are not going to get better as the day goes on because we're going to have even more rain and heavier rain. Eastbound Wisconsin 15 closed from Givens Road west to Industrial Park because of an incident. And the same on the westbound side of westbound Wisconsin 15 shut down from Industrial Park Avenue to Givens Road. So just be careful.
And then also this afternoon, if you're in southeastern Wisconsin in the Milwaukee area, Pink is in concert.
Oh, that's right.
And I think that they are diverting traffic away from AmFam Field for that. So that could cause even more issues. So
I think the parking lot opens up at 3 and the gates open at 5. So, yeah,
so,
if you can avoid
traffic,
if you can
tonight, it's not going to be fun between rain and Pink.
And Pink, you're going to want to find some alternate routes.
Blue Mountain Road, here you come.
Yeah. And well, which is now down to one lane in some areas.
Great.
Is there a section of Wisconsin that is not under construction? Because it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. It's not only everywhere, it's also the, I just want, and maybe we can get someone from DOT someday to explain this to us, but why when they're not, it's not an active construction site, why do they just leave cones everywhere? Why are the orange barrels just everywhere, even when there's no work being done? Is it laziness?
It's a good question.
Is it we forgot? Is there actually like a good reason for it?
Work is coming.
I have so many. Like, there's multiple streets, like city streets in Milwaukee that I'm like, what? No one's here. No one's working on anything. Why are these cold? Like, why are these barrels here? Anyways. So over the weekend, as predicted, all the presidential candidates were hanging around in the Iowa State Fair.
Important spot.
Shaking hands, kissing babies.
Eating things on sticks.
Trump petted a goat, apparently. I'm upset that I have not seen a video of Trump in a full suit touching farm animals.
That's probably why he only stayed for an hour. I assume he was traumatized.
So I didn't read that part. He was only there for an hour?
That's what I saw yesterday on my Twitter feed, that he was only there for an hour.
I mean, it'll be really interesting because Iowa's a caucus instead of, and so in the it's the closest thing to when we talk about ranked choice voting, where people are voting for their second favorite, and there's it's technically or like traditionally a more it's like a nicer primary. That's what people say, right? Because of if you're not going to be their first favorite, people are kind of vying to be their second favorite.
Okay,
and it'll be interesting because everything I've read is DeSantis is like all in on Iowa, right? Because he thinks this is his best chance to come out of the gate swinging and show that he can be a contender with Trump. But it's also just funny to think about him because, like, as opposed to Trump's suit, him just marching around the Iowa State Fair all weekend in, like, jeans and, like, you know.
I'm a guy. I'm just a guy.
I'm an everyday man. And so did you see anything that was...
The one thing that I saw that stuck out to me was as Ron DeSantis was walking through one of the crowds to get to wherever he was going to speak next, this is what the crowd around him was chanting.
We love Trump! 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 We love Trump!
And I also read that he elected to close down the bumper car rides so he could go on it alone with his daughter.
Oh, which you didn't want to be bumped by strangers?
Which is always a really popular thing to do when you're a politician and you come in and use your privilege to shut down something that's meant for everyone.
Well, it's funny that there was he got those chants of the Trump lovers, but there was also he was dogged by protesters who are not Republicans at all weekend as far as people angry about his different policies. Did you say that someone from Mike Pence was like, I'm glad they didn't hang you?
Yep. Take a listen to this. Former Vice President Mike Pence, guy in the crowd.
My question is this. Why did you commit treason on January 6th and not
I'm a veteran, buddy. No. Shut your mouth.
It's a fair question. Look, come on. See, that's why I came.
I'm glad they didn't hang you.
I'm glad they didn't hang you.
Me too. I don't like Mike Pence, but I'm also glad they didn't hang him. Jesus Christ.
And it got a big laugh, too.
Oh, God. Well, on the lighter side, one of the videos I saw was Nikki Haley trying to shoot a basketball. And as a former basketball player, I was like, this is embarrassing. Why did you opt in to do this? Her form was awful. But then it got me thinking, because over the weekend... We were at our friend's first their baby's like first year birthday party, and it was more of an adult for like party for adults,
right?
And somehow the suggestion was made that we should play Knockout, aka Lightning, which is a game where you shoot a free throw and then the person you're all in line and a person behind you, if they make their shot before you, you're out.
Okay,
and then it whittles down, and that's the game, and. You know, like, I pride myself of, like, I grew up playing basketball.
You're pretty competitive.
Pretty competitive. And I'm in, like, a dress. I'm 8 months pregnant. I'm barefoot. And somehow I still thought I was going to be able to compete in this game. And my friend, who was behind me, whose shot is as bad as Nikki Haley's, got me out immediately.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, how did this happen? So then I play again, and I get out again immediately. And I was so hard on myself instead of the fact that I was like, your balance is a little off right now.
Hello.
Running after a basketball maybe is not the best thing to do.
You think?
So I think this is the good husband points. Last night we went to like a bar restaurant and Mike was like, "Do you want to play Papa Shot with me?" Which is the game that Nikki Haley was playing where it's just the rim and I crushed him.
Oh well.
And I don't know if he let me beat him. But I do have a better shot than him, so I want to just believe that I just beat him and I felt a lot better.
Vindication.
So. All right, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, we're going to be talking to John Plagman, who started Section Yellow. We're going to talk about sobriety in Wisconsin. So stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag CivicPints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
Blood.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.